plethora of available options can make our health decisions complicated. Welcome to Murmuration, Critical Transitions and Transformation with Stacey Starling. Our program is designed for you to question, take charge of your health, and find out which resources in healthcare and human services are available for you. Now, here's your host, Stacey Starling.
Welcome and thank you for listening. This is your host, Stacey Starling. You're listening to Murmuration, Critical Transitions and Transformation. On today's show, we're adding to our understanding of psychic guidance as an approach to health and well-being. Linda Hedder is joining me today, and Linda is a third-generation psychic, and for the past 30 years, she has accessed her clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience skills to support people in their pursuit of health, healing, and well-being. After today's show, you can contact Linda by phone at 248-887-8625. I'll repeat that several times during the show, or by email at psychicgodsentangel@me.com. Kind of a difficult web address to repeat on the air, and so we'll definitely have that also posted on the Starling Center radio tab after today's show. Remember to like the Starling Center on Facebook, connect with me on LinkedIn, follow me on Twitter, and all these links can be found under our show link here on Voice America. Linda, welcome to the show. So glad to have you today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here.
Great. Excellent. Today, I'm really excited about today's conversation. I just can't wait to have it unfold. And so let's just get at it. What is a psychic and how did you come to understand your psychic abilities?
Well, what a psychic is someone who's intuitive, who perceives things through energy, through emotion, that would involve clairvoyancy, clairaudio, or clairsentient. And the stronger the intuition, that allows the person to walk away from tools, tools being the tarot cards, palm reading, astrology, so on and so forth. I am third generation born. It ran in both sides of the family. And the first memory I have was at 4 years of age, waking up very late at night to a tremendous amount of noises, dishes, pots, pans, cupboards, drawers being opened and slammed violently. So I go into the kitchen, and my room was right off the kitchen, and I turn on the light switch thinking I would see all these things on the floor, and there was nothing there. And then it just continued. Now, everyone in my family has some type of ability, so being the youngest, this was not anything new to my parents, and because it ran in generations, it was a difficult thing for them that their children would go through this, because at that time, it was something that you kept very private and quiet, because outside the family, people would not understand these things. So it progressed. It progressed to not only going out of body constantly as a small child, but actually being able to see other people go out of body, and I'm in the physical state, which requires a lot of a great deal of energy. Odd things would happen: telekinesis, seeing a doll, the hands move or something. Which would, then you don't understand this, so that terrified me as a small child. And I didn't come from a metaphysical family. I came from a religious Catholic family. And every day someone would see something, hear something, and that simply means that the family, you either were clairvoyant, clairaudio, clairsentient, and there's only three people in the family that I've been able to document who are clairvoyant, clairaudio, and clairsentient. And that is my sister, who is terrified of this stuff, and my grandmother, and myself. And oddly enough, my grandmother and I are born September 26th.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so it just progressed, and I got tired of being just exposed to paranormal activity throughout my life, and I decided in my 20s to study it.
Hey, Linda, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
For all of us, would you be willing to distinguish for us between the three C's? Help us to understand the difference.
Right. That's really important. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because when I'm working with my client, many times I have to pick up the pieces from people who are not so reputable. And it's easy to be taken advantage of because a lot of people are in a state of confusion or sadness, and so they can be very vulnerable. So one of the first things I do when I spend an hour with a client is to explain to them what they're looking for. And I ask them not to say or give me any information. I simply want their name, their first and last name, and that is to pull them in through their voice vibration. And that's basically how I work. I have readings all over the world. Well, if you're clairvoyant or clairaudio or clairsentient, it means one means I see spirit or see imagery. That's clairvoyancy. Clairaudio means I hear a word, a letter, or a sentence. Spirit doesn't talk in long paragraphs like we do. A psychic might go into great detail. They're simply using their words to explain to you what they're hearing. And clairsentient means I'm very sensitive to energy. You might have heard of psychics saying, give me your car keys, give me a picture, give me your jewelry. They're picking up a vibration, an energy from the wearer. I'm sure you've walked into a room where that you could cut the tension in the room with a knife. And maybe the two people that were in there before had a violent argument. So energy is real. We leave a trace of it wherever we go. Now, with myself, clairsentient, it goes a little further than that, in that I feel the physical pain of the people I'm opening up to. The only way I can get out of their pain is to begin to tell my clients what I'm experiencing. I don't have complete control. It could be something in the moment, something in the future, but I will express it. And that goes into that healing part. So when you're looking for a psychic, I guess, the safest way is, one, get a referral. Two, through obviously through someone that you trust. The second way to discern between someone who has ability is they walk away from the tools. And to be quite honest with you, doing this for 30 years, psychics really don't want you to know that because I've heard many psychics use an excuse as to why they need a tool. But we're going to use logic. If you tell me that you're clairvoyant or on your business card, it says I'm clairvoyant, clairaudio, or clairsentient, that tells me that you should walk away from the tools because common sense says, one, you see spirit or imagery. The other one says, I hear a word, a letter, a sentence. And the other one says, I feel. So if you have any of those abilities, you don't need a tool, right?
Right. So when you say a tool, give an example. You said tarot cards. What other examples might you have of tools?
Yes. Tools are anything a psychic uses to assist them in a reading. The most common that everyone knows of are the tarot cards. I will tell you, I have taught myself 17 different tools. A normal psychic would be happy to go out there and use two tools, maybe astrology or palmistry or tarot cards. But I was told in the early stages that I would not only be working in healing energy and doing readings, but I would also teach. Because it's important to teach, you know, and develop reputable people to go out there and do the work. So I learned 17 different tools. And one of them came, one is called the Egyptian sand reading. And in 30 years, I've never heard of anyone doing that. That's just something that I worked with. I'm going to ask you to have an open mind.
Sure.
Something I worked with in reincarnation in another time, in another place. But there's water divination, there's flame readings, there is the black scrying mirror, runes, aura readings, past life readings, astrology, numerology, and I know all of that, and I do all of that except for astrology. So that's basically what tools are. So,
how did you come to know your talent, Linda? Like, at what point, what promoted learning new tools? Was it just part of the journey, or, you know, at what point did you decide you were going to learn a new tool?
You know, it was serendipity events that happened in my life. And the funny thing is that as a child, I knew I was going to do something different with my life, but I didn't quite know what it was. And as things just fell into place, and, you know, a conversation with a person, who was also intuitive. And in saying that, I've only had three readings in my lifetime. And all three of those readings were before I actually did readings for people. And they all came within a year. And one person was in Pennsylvania, one was in Ohio, and one was here in Michigan. And they were all telling me these crazy things. And they would all look at me and say, you have it. You have all this ability. You should be reading me right now. And one woman looked at me and she said, pray for me, because you have no idea of the energy around you. So I, coming from a religious base, doing readings was the last thing I wanted to do because of the stigma that is attached to it.
So what changed?
Well, I started doing healings, and then I started teaching. And then I became comfortable with it. So basically, it's just a series of events. And also, I got tired of being a victim of paranormal activity. Mm. And, you know, if you have fear when you don't understand something, and that applies to everything in our life. So one of the lessons that I was taught, when I say I'm taught by spirit, through meditation, through dreams, through out-of-body experiences, you must face your fears, regardless of what they are. Okay, so, and I also learned about faith. Not that I didn't have it, but it needed to be greater, and patience. So, these are the stepping stones that you need to do the work, because it's a polarity out there. There's negative and there's positive. As there is great love, there is great evil, and you have to be protected. And it's experiencing all different types of things and then understanding them and working with them.
Linda, we have about 2 minutes before we're going to head to our first break. I want to cycle back to, you made a comment when you were talking about your family that it wasn't something that was openly discussed. Did that ever transition with time? Did it ever become family conversation about everyone's talent and gift?
Well, when I was older, say 14 or 15, the women would talk in the kitchen, and I would be exposed to experiences that my aunt had, that my mother had. Now, my mother was clairaudio, as was her mother. And this is what I found very odd and very strange, is that my mother's mother was married for many, many years, and she had a son and two daughters. And both of her daughters inherited the ability to hear footsteps, voices, names, words, but not her son. And all the time that she was married, she never told her husband that she had these experiences, because back then, that would frighten a lot of people. So I was amazed that she could keep this secret just between her and her two daughters, when one of them being my mother, obviously. And then my dad's side, Diana, my grandmother, she was clairvoyant, clairaudio, clairsentient. And to show you how much we progressed, I remember them telling me the stories that people would come to my grandmother and ask for advice, and she would give it to them, and it would work out. One example they gave me was, you know, my grandmother lived on a farm. So a woman came, and she was distressed because she couldn't bear children, and we've got to wrap our head around that this was a long time ago. Very important that women have children, especially on a farm, to help with the farm work. And my grandmother talked to her, told her that within a year, she would have her child, and after that, she'd have many more. And that was fine. But then, and this is a silly example, but if a cow died in the area, then they would wonder, was it Diana? So I was told at a very early age never to discuss these things, because they do not occur in normal households. And it followed generation after generation. So you learn quickly. I didn't know that people don't dream in color. I didn't know that people don't go out of body. So as a silly 11-year-old, I was having a discussion with my girlfriend in class, and unbeknownst to me, my math teacher was right behind me, and he scolded me. He said, Linda, people don't dream in color. What do you mean you fly around at night? And then I remembered all that my mother told me, never discuss these things, because it will backfire. But now children are very open to that, and children are very, very psychic. So are animals, because they don't have the barriers that we do.
On that note, Linda, we're going to head to break, but that's an interesting place to pick up when we come back. We want to hear more about how children have great psychic abilities that perhaps are not recognized. When we return, we're going to pick up our conversation and also engage more discussion about how Linda has supported people in their pursuit of health and well-being.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Starling Center is pleased to announce the latest video course in its e-learning platform, Person-Centered Thinking. The primary aim of a person-centered approach is to redress the current imbalance between the practitioner and the person at the point of service in healthcare and human services. Person-centeredness is an important balance of medical services and social solutions. Each person's wants and needs dictates the person-centered plan that guides the delivery of care or defines the plan for supports and services. This call to action is emphasized in emerging policy, promoting culture change in the service systems that provide care and supports and services for older adults and people who have disabilities. Join Stacy Starling for this in-depth virtual classroom experience. This course expands the conversational space to include cross-disciplinary practitioners across the continuum. The course provides continuing education credits for nurses, nursing home administrators, and social workers. Log on to starling-elearning.org for more information and register today.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Murmuration, Critical Transitions and Transformation with host Stacy Starling. If you have a question or comment for the show, please send an email to stacy@starlingcenter.org. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. If you're joining the conversation, this is your host, Stacy Starling, and you're listening to Murmuration, Critical Transitions and Transformation. Joining me today is Linda Hedder, a third-generation psychic, and we are having a fantastic conversation before we went to break. Linda was helping us to understand what a psychic is and things that we should look for when choosing our own intuitive that we might work with. Most interesting comment before I had to break, which is that children and pets are extremely psychic, and I've asked Linda to follow up on that and share more with us.
Yes. It's important to understand that your children have a heightened sense and there is no fear. It's sort of like we're only told we can't do something over and over again, and then we create that in our reality. So children and animals, extremely open. I will go to somebody's house, for example, and whether they have cats or dogs, they lay right at my feet. Now, why do they do that? Because they sense that at a different energy level, we connect. Mm-hmm. And they even have cats and dogs that will sit by people in the hospital that are dying of cancer. They can detect illness before it actually occurs. So it's important for children, getting back to children, it's important for children to be supported through this journey. So if you have a child that is intuitive and you're not, I would suggest that you read up on things, because you're going to be the one that's going to eliminate the fear for that child and allow that child to open naturally. It wasn't a coincidence that I incarnated in a family where every single person there had psychic ability in a time when it wasn't popular to have this ability. And so, had I been the only person in a family, they might have thought I was mentally ill. So there's a reason for everything. And children don't have the barriers that we do. And speaking of dogs and cats being able to pick up cancer, one thing that would help people is to perceive energy through auras. And you can discern The personality of the person, the mood of the person. Let's say you're going for a job interview and you are able to, and you have trained yourself to see auras, you can see the kind of mood that that person is in. It is said when you begin to see auras, when you see it murky, any shade that is murky and not clear, vibrant and bright, there's going to be a situation there. There's going to be something going on with that individual. You can use this also for your dogs, your children. You can see everything that vibrates, everything that is alive, from a rock to a flower, has energy. And you've heard of people talking to flowers to have them grow bigger and stronger. And so there's a lot of different things that you can use this intuitive ability to reach within and help a person. I have a couple questions.
Hold that example, but I want to ask you something quick follow-up. Are you suggesting that all children are born with psychic abilities? Is it across the board? Everybody comes into this world with some ability to be intuitive.
That is true. There isn't a person, unless you purposely shut down, okay? One of the great killers of being intuitive is logic. So let's say, for example, I have friends that are physicians and surgeons and so on and so forth, and you know, but you can't apply logic to this. This is a feeling nature. It's sort of like you can see an artist paint a great painting, and they can go for hours, 5, 6, 7 hours. Why? They're in the moment. It's called inspiration or passion. So you do have to relax. You do have to be open, and every single person has an ability. I can take 10 people, sit them in front of a piano, and teach them chopsticks. But you're going to get one person at that piano who's going to go off and create music on their own or play Bach. Why is that? Well, it's a natural ability. Just some people come in better equipped, stronger in tuned. But even you are intuitive. We use that example throughout time. Men have a gut feeling, and women are intuitive. So the thing is to allow it to hit into your subconscious. Don't block it, because if you tell yourself you're not, then you're not. Mm. And so, yes, every person has some degree, and every person, it's like a muscle, every person can train themselves. Same thing with anything that you are passionate about, whether it's music, art, writing, you get better and better. And then there's just some of us that are born this way.
With varying degrees. That's interesting. Talk to us about, we were talking about that early detection, that animals can often have a role in early detection of disease. Talk to us about some of the ways that you've helped people, and perhaps, you know, changing lifestyle habits, unconscious patterning, those kinds of things, and supported people in their pursuit of health and well-being.
Well, the way that I find out that things have played out is when clients turn around and call me. And I'll give you a quick example. I was giving a reading to one of my clients, and I began to feel tight, tight chest pains. And I quickly want to get out of that energy. And then I perceived that someone close to her had passed on and was pressing this feeling upon me. And so it was a male, and I said to her, did your father-in-law die of a heart attack? And she said, yes. And I said, I'm tuning into this thought and this feeling that I'm perceiving. And I said to her, well, when was the last time your husband had a physical? If it's been a long time, might be a good time for him to get checked out, because what I'm perceiving is in his DNA, in his family background, there have been people with strokes and heart attacks. So it might be a good thing for him to get a checkup. And then we continued on other things. Okay. So she calls me back about 3 or 4 days later and tells me that her husband went to the doctors. Every artery was was clogged. And the doctor said that he probably would not have had a stroke. He would have gone into a massive heart attack and died. So there we see where if, you know, it's free will. If you, you know, you want to pursue that. And when it comes to your health, your safety, I think that's important. So I've perceived like a rape before it actually happened. And you know, so it's good that you listen. Break-ins. I worked with a woman who was dealing, she had terminal cancer. And I went to her home. She lived up north and went to her home, stayed with her for the weekend, and did hypnosis tapes. Twice a day we did hypnosis sessions, and we recorded them. And she said that while she was under hypnosis, the pain that she experienced was deleted, was less painful. And my belief system is any way you can make yourself more comfortable is good. So if she could, when you're in a tremendous amount of pain and you are taking a lot of powerful drugs on top of that, if you can find a way for an hour or two a day to alleviate that pain, then it's well worth it.
Interesting. So you're talking about messages coming forth in multiple different ways. And are those, and so talk to me about how you interpret the messages. Give us some better understanding of that interpretation process.
Okay. Well, I'm a little different in that I was born clairvoyant, clairaudio, and clairsentient, which is why I have clients all over the world, all over the United States. It's not necessary that I ever meet you face to face. Talking about that, it's actually a clear way when you do a phone reading, because it assures that the energy is pure. For example, during a phone call, the energy that a psychic will be reading cannot be distorted by any distractions that they may be picking up from a person who is in the same room. For example, jewelry, wedding rings, a person's facial expression, which is why another reason when I sit with somebody face to face, I immediately close my eyes because in the early years, I would look right into your eyes and I soon learned quickly that people are very uncomfortable with that. So I close my eyes. Not only is it good that I close my eyes because now I'm not making a judgment call when I say something and you jump up or you have a facial expression. And so I want it to be clear and clean. And I tell people, don't say anything. Just let me go. And when you're dealing with the police department, that is very important because, you know, they are very cynical. Their work requires them to be very cynical. So I made it really hard for me when I was working with the police so that there was no way that they could doubt the information that I was giving them. So doing a face-to-face is good if you feel you need that, but it isn't necessary.
Okay, let's punctuate that point as we head off to break. Okay. Linda is talking about how she interprets the messages and the advantages for using the phone as the method of contact for her. Just to remind everybody, after today's show, you can reach Linda at 248-887-8625. And after we come back from break, we're going to dispel some of the myths that we hear out there in the world when we have conversation about psychics.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Starling Center is pleased to announce the latest video course in its e-learning platform, Person-Centered Thinking. The primary aim of a person-centered approach is to redress the current imbalance between the practitioner and the person at the point of service in healthcare and human services. Person-centeredness is an important balance of medical services and social solutions. Each person's wants and needs dictates the person-centered plan that guides the delivery of care or defines the plan for supports and services. This call to action is emphasized in Emerging Policy, promoting culture change in the service systems that provide care and supports and services for older adults and people who have disabilities. Join Stacey Starling for this in-depth virtual classroom experience. This course expands the conversational space to include cross-disciplinary practitioners across the continuum. The course provides continuing education credits for nurses, nursing home administrators, and social workers. Log on to starling-elearning.org for more information and register today.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Murmuration, Critical Transitions and Transformation with host Stacey Starling. If you have a question or comment for the show, please send an email to stacey@starlingcenter.org. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. If you're joining the conversation, this is your host, Stacey Starling, and you're listening to Murmuration, Critical Transitions and Transformation. Today, I have Linda Hedder joining me on the show, and Linda is an accomplished and skillful psychic and teacher of the intuitive ways of being in this world, intuitive knowing, and she's sharing with us her practice. And she's going to take some time in this segment to dispel some of the myths that exist out there. I'd like to start, Linda, with is this approach to health and well-being foolproof? Like, do all of your predictions come true when you do a reading?
Okay. Well, you know, some people would say that all predictions come true. But I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that it is free will. We all have free will. And we have the choice to incorporate what we're hearing into our lives or to let it go. So, I could only say personally, if I get information, I'm going to act on it because that's the type of personality I am. So, you know, if somebody warns you about a heart attack or smoking or, you know, seeing something coming that would be a negative in your life and you choose to not heed that warning, then you need to walk through it. But it's not a real negative thing, because at some other spiritual level, you needed that lesson in your life to grow and to strengthen yourself. I always say that the worst teachers that come into your life, meaning the most difficult situations or the most difficult people, are actually our greatest teachers. So nothing is written in stone, unless you're that type of personality that's really going to work to make that happen. Let's say, for example, I see something coming to you within a year. But you're that type of person, that go-getter, that focused individual, you can make that come in a week. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the time frame is your own. This is why in spirit, when I see something, when spirit gives me this information, there is no time in spirit. So it's really hard to discern. I saw things for myself when I was 25 that I didn't experience until I was 35. So some things that you pick up may take years to actually occur.
So give me the other side of that discussion. Does that mean that everything does come true, or when might something not come true? How does that happen?
Does everything come true? It depends on the personality. It depends on how motivated you are. Because, you know, you can be given the information, but you have to do the work yourself. And so that's such a personal journey. And no one loses. If it takes you 10 years to manifest that goal, then it takes you 10 years. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's your own personal journey. If you can do it in a year, again, that's your own personal journey. We're too hard on ourselves. And we do need to learn patience. And we do need to learn faith. And you can't read that in a book. That is life experience.
So what if it's something that is undesirable, like something that I don't want to have experience, I don't want to experience in this lifetime. So you give me some kind of a warning. Well, I'll go back to the example that you gave earlier, the woman whose husband's arteries were clogged. So that course of action that gave more information, they were able to avoid a circumstance. So I guess it's dependent on how you look at it, hey?
It depends on the individual, truly. And because I have told clients things, and out of fear, they're frozen. They're unable to move forward, and that's a personal lesson. So, was the reading wrong? No. I had a woman who was very comfortable, very set in her ways, had a job. It was like 2 blocks away from her home. She only had to work part-time. She could be home when her son, she only had one child. She was very protective. She could be home when her son came home from school. She made a mistake of getting a reading with me. We went through many things that were going to happen, and one of the things that I mentioned was that she was going to get a better job. It would be a little further away, but it would be a lot more money, and she would need that at that time. And, I also would say that I said to her, does your tooth hurt? Because I've got one of my teeth here, and they hurt. Do you have a tooth problem? Have you seen the dentist? And she looked at me, and she did have beautiful teeth. And she said to me, I've never had a tooth problem in my life. She's blah, blah, blah. I said, well, there's something out there. So, you know, just know that something like that's going to come up. And so she thanked me for the reading, and she said everything was excellent. It was wonderful, except for two things. She didn't even mention the teeth. It was one thing. She says, you don't know how great of a relationship I have with my coworkers. Linda, it's a perfect job. I'm close. I only have to work part-time. And I cannot stand the thought of leaving my friends and going somewhere else. And so we left it at that. She called me back like a week later. Apparently, she went into the office, saw that there was on the board, she worked for the school system. She saw that there was a job opening at the community college for exactly what she did. She made the mistake of mentioning it to her husband, and her husband said, you are going to go and apply for that job because it's twice as much money. Yes, you have to drive maybe 3 miles further. Our son is like 14 years old. He can take care of himself for the 1 hour that you won't be there. So she called me to tell me she took the job. And I said, if you had such quality friendships at your job, then you're the type of person that will go on to create more wonderful friendships. And who doesn't want to have 20 friends instead of the 10 that you have at your old job? You could still stay in touch with them. And that was the only thing that she was concerned about. She went on, and see, if you don't want it, or you're out of fear, and that's what kept her from doing this, you can miss great opportunities.
I have to ask, what about the tooth?
Oh, God, yeah, I'm glad you asked. Because she also said, I have to tell you something. She said, this wasn't at the same time. She called me like a month or two later. She said she went to her dentist. He worked on her teeth, and he actually drilled. She did have a teeny tiny cavity, and he drilled the wrong tooth.
Ugh.
And now she wants to sue him. And I thought, you know, see, there it is. See, so I no longer have that problem when I tell people stuff. It's like, well, just wait till you walk through it. You know what I mean?
Right, for sure.
And it was so cute. One day I was reading a person at the Plymouth Coffee Bean, and reading went wonderful. And this woman kept coming up, Rose. And I said, well, twice she came up. And I said, do you know Rose? She said, no. She's thinking, no, Linda, I don't know Rose. I said, okay, we'll let it go. And then I told her, I said, you're going to get an fender bender. And it's during the day. And you're in a white car of some kind. And it's not going to be serious, but pay attention. Because it's going to... it's going to be frustrating for you because of the cost to fix it. Okay. And then I went on to other things. She leaves the little coffee shop where I was doing readings right across the street. It's diagonal parking. She got in her car, literally pulled out of the parking lot, and somebody hit her on the right-hand side of the back end of the car. I didn't know all of this, right? She pulls in, she does what she has to do, then she comes back in and talks to me. She's white as a ghost. She says, Linda, I just got in a car accident pulling out of here, and it's my back fender. And she said, I apologize, Linda, I really do. She goes, but I totally forgot I drove my mother's white SUV today because my car's in the shop. And Linda, my mother's name is Rose.
Wow.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. Pay attention to the other things I shared with you today, right?
That's right.
That's the takeaway on that one. Listen, I have another question I want to ask. How do you respond when people state that psychics are maybe perhaps connected to witchcraft or demonic practice? How do you respond to that?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have this ability and choose to work in the occult. Mm-hmm. I always say like attracts like, and it's very serious energy. And the last thing that I would want to do is to call upon low-evolved entities. Now, Spirit taught me to call demonic beings or spirits low-evolved entity because we don't want to give them the power, because mm-hmm. everything has a vibration. So you can imagine throughout history people evoking that name and the power that is attached to it. So we call it low-evolved entities. I think you have to understand that there's always going to be the light, and there's always going to be the darkness. And it's much easier, I'll be really honest with you, it's much easier to get on, get into some of this occult stuff and get chills and thrills at what you're conjuring up. But you have no control over that. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to be able to get rid of it either. And then you're in serious trouble. I mean, who are you going to call? You can't. What help are you going to get?
Right.
So it's a two-edged sword, and I would much rather work incredibly hard and have it twice as difficult and work in the light than to do that. Besides, I think that's, and maybe at some point, because I believe in reincarnation, maybe at some point I already did that, so why do it? It's a lower form of energy.
Gotcha. So the pragmatic folks out there in our listening audience might say, if you're so psychic, how come you haven't picked the winning lotto numbers for yourself? Let's dispel that myth.
That's a good question. And the answer would be, if I were to hit the lottery today, even though I could go up and down, and you've heard other people say it, I swear to you, God, if you help me hit the lottery, I will build churches, I will donate my money, I will do this and that. But the reality is that money can change and shift who you are. And money is only good at what it can accomplish. It can be a destroyer as well. And so I would say that in this lifetime, sadly, it was never meant for me to be a millionaire or a billionaire. And I'm okay with that. There was, the funny thing is, there were very few lifetimes where I had children. And in almost every lifetime, I did this type of work. You don't come in born clairvoyant, clairaudio, clairsentient right off the bat. So I have tried years ago to get numbers, and it's blocked because it's not meant for me to be extremely wealthy. And then if I were, would I have actually done the work? And a great gift would have been wasted.
On that note, we're gonna go ahead to break, because that was fantastic description of your perspective on why psychics operate outside of doing this for their own personal advancement in the world. And so we're gonna head to break, and when we come back, Linda is gonna address some frequently asked questions.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Starling Center is pleased to announce the latest video course in its e-learning platform, Person-Centered Thinking. The primary aim of a person-centered approach is to redress the current imbalance between the practitioner and the person at the point of service in healthcare and human services. Person-centeredness is an important balance of medical services and social solutions. Each person's wants and needs dictates the person-centered plan that guides the delivery of care or defines the plan for supports and services. This call to action is emphasized in emerging policy, promoting culture change in the service systems that provide care and supports and services for older adults and people who have disabilities. Join Stacy Starling for this in-depth virtual classroom experience. This course expands the conversational space to include cross-disciplinary practitioners across the continuum. The course provides continuing education credits for nurses, nursing home administrators, and social workers. Log on to starling-elearning.org for more information and register today.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Murmuration, Critical Transitions and Transformation with host Stacy Starling. If you have a question or comment for the show, please send an email to stacy@starlingcenter.org. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. If you're joining the conversation, this is your host, Stacy Starling, and you're listening to Murmuration, Critical Transitions and Transformation. Today, I've been speaking with Linda Hedder, a psychic, and it has just been a fantastic hour. I've had such a good time and have learned so much from Linda about her gift, being a psychic. And as I fumble all my way through that, let's get on to just some frequently asked questions. Jeez Louise. So, Linda, tell us, do readings tire you out? Is your energy drained? How do you experience the reading?
That's funny you should ask, because when I was younger, I had an abundance of energy. And, of course, I never made that connection that I was, quote, psychic or anything. But I did have a lot of energy, and I had to learn to expel it in some way, get rid of this energy and get grounded. Well, with readings, when I started to do readings, I found that actually helped me. And so it was a natural form of energy that I needed to release. So this actually feels good. And it feels even better when you feel that you have shifted a person's feelings, their consciousness. The goal is to make you feel better than when you sat down. So it doesn't really take away from me. It actually nurtures me. I do, however, and it's a silly thing, I have to get everybody's energy off of me at the end of the day so I can calm down.
How do you do that?
Well, one simple, easy way, and I'm sure you've seen healers do it, when they've worked on touching a human person, on touching an aura and interacting, they wash their hands. Mm-hmm. If they don't wash their hands physically, they make the motion of putting their hands together and releasing that energy. So what I was taught was, at the end of the day, and especially me, because I don't even have to read people, I'm interacting with the cashier and this person and the neighbor and so on and so forth, and I'm so sensitive, I pick that up. What I do is I visualize in the shower that this is healing energy. It is a waterfall, and it bathes over you. That's what I did in the beginning. Now it is so embedded in my mind that it's not even a split second, and I see that. So it is important that we cleanse ourselves in some form or way. Water is very spiritual and very cleansing.
Is there something that you have to do to prepare for a reading?
What I do is I open to prayer, and I have since day one. So I ask for divine assistance and guidance, and I give thanksgiving for those teachers who are assisting me in the reading of hearts. And then it's just open and you're ready, and I am in a zone, and I can read a person one after another, after another, after another, not be affected, because I'm in, well, I am in alpha. It's what people try to reach when they go into meditation. I'm already in that, in a wake, open, natural state. So when I do a reading, I'm even deeper.
Are there times when people should not use psychic services? That's another frequently asked question.
Yes, there are times that people should not see a psychic. And of course, you know, you have to have morals and scruples. You have to have ethics. You have to be able to turn a person away. And it can never be about money. So there have been many times that I've turned clients away, even regular clients. I'll use an example of one particular person who came in to see me on the spur of the moment, very, very upset. She'd just gotten fired, and unfairly fired. What I did was I sat her down. I spent time with her. I calmed her down. I allowed her to express her feelings, and I told her, I said, if you were to get a reading right now, it would not be a very good one because you're so emotionally upset. Let's wait a day or two. We'll schedule something when everything is calmer, and we'll do a reading at that point. There's also been people that may be mentally ill, and I will not read them. It's not fair to them. So if someone sits down and I immediately begin to pick up that they are very manic depressant or schizophrenic, I will simply tell them that their energy is too high for me and I cannot break through that. I cannot read them. That makes a person feel good that, wow, my energy is so high, a psychic can't read me. Because it's not about hurting a person's feeling, and certainly not about taking a person's time and money. Mm-hmm. There is karma. You will pay for that, for when much is given to someone, and that could be knowledge. Much is expected. Right. I draw a line. There's one line that I did draw many, many years ago. Sorry, I'm only human, can't get past this one thing. And, you try to explain this to spirit. It's pedophiles. And mm-hmm. I have had one or two pedophiles sit down, and I'm not going to go through that. I don't want to see it. I don't want to experience it. I worked with police. I worked with rapes. I worked with murders. It's a whole different area. But when you affect a child, I draw the line. So I use that as well. Energy too high, can't read you.
Gotcha. Okay.
You don't have to read everybody, and you shouldn't. And and then, of course, if you're blocked, if your best friend's forcing you to get a reading, not a good thing.
Do psychics have bad days?
Gosh, I would assume they do because I hear of that. With me, I'm so trained, I'm so disciplined that I do the reading unless I'm really, really sick. And then, of course, I won't do a reading. But a bad day, no.
Okay.
It's just like, you know, you're a professional, I'm sure.
Right.
There can be highs and lows in your life, but you're not going to allow that to affect the time that you have set aside for your work.
Great. Understood.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So a fun question frequently asked is, do psychics hang out with other psychics? Do you have a club that you all belong to?
Yeah, that's funny. no, the odd thing and the wonderful thing is I don't have any friends that are intuitive. But yet all my friends are intuitive, but to purposely hang out with a psychic, no, I don't. And I don't go to psychic fairs. We're going to use a little common sense. If you have ability, the clients will find you. People will find you. You're dealing at the very low level at these psychic fairs, and they're very bizarre people. You know, I mean, it's common sense. And I have gone to them years and years ago. I took students to these psychic fairs so that they could see what is out there. There was a man with a cross that almost covered the entire chest, his chest. You know, I'm telling you, the most spiritual people in the world are not going to be perceived that way. They come very silently, very quietly. You'll never know until they're gone. And that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm. Listen, you just mentioned you took a student to a psychic fair in order for that person to have the experience. So I want to give you an opportunity. We only have about a minute to go, but could you in brief answer the question, you know, can anyone become a psychic and kind of connect that to intuition and developing those skills?
Yes, anybody can develop this. I would suggest for your own safety that you get the simplest book you can find on meditation and read it, learn how to breathe, or get a tape on it. Don't invest a lot of money because you may not follow through with it, or you may find that you lose interest. So learn the meditation and practice it. And even if you don't develop your intuitive abilities, meditation is good for relieving stress, staying younger, living longer. The tortoise lives over 100 years, but their breeding pattern is so different. It's what we aspire to in meditation. So it's a win-win situation. And make it simple. Keep it very simple. If it's meant for, you know, if it's meant to happen, it's a slow process. You do not want to open immediately. You want to be spoon-fed this ability a little at a time so you can absorb it and it not be overwhelming.
Great. Thank you, Linda. Today, I had so much fun speaking with you. Today, we added to the conversation on psychic guidance as an approach to health and well-being. I learned so much. It was great fun having Linda Hedder join me today. She is a third-generation psychic. To be in contact with Linda after today's show, please call her at 248-887-8625 or email her at psychicgodsentangel@me.com. That email address will absolutely be on the Starling Center website radio tab after today's show, along with her phone number. I really enjoyed, Linda, your important perspectives today. Thank you for tuning in. This is Stacey Starling. Remember, you can go to our show links on my Voice America host page, and there you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and certainly visit us at starlingcenter.org.
Thank you again for joining us this week for Murmuration, Critical Transitions, and Transformation. Please join your host, Stacey Starling, for another edition next Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll answer more of your questions next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.